The township economy, which tends to be more informal in nature, tends to be a forgotten part of the wider economy, and yet it serves a market function. It's full of entrepreneurs hustling to make a living. It got knocked temporarily at the beginning of the COVID-19 related national lockdown when government prevented spaza shops and informal traders from continuing to operate. So how has it been faring during the lockdown, and what needs to happen for the township economy to fulfill its potential, given that it's bang in the centre of where many people live? To discuss this issue and more, I'm joined on the line by Kandani Msibi. He's the CEO of the 360 Global Solutions Group. Thanks very much for joining us, Mr. Msibi. So we know at the beginning of the national lockdown, some missteps in government policy led to spaza shops and informal traders not being able to trade initially, although that was resolved fairly quickly. So what's your assessment of how the 10-week national lockdown has affected the township economy?
I think the initial lockdown where no trading took place was very severe and terrible on a SME and township business. In a sense that they went from this, most of them from subsistence to zero revenue. And the implication for that is that with a limited working, these SMEs would tend to consume the capital of survival and therefore be able to actually come back post the COVID lockdown.
Yes. Some economy observers say the future will likely change with new business models in the formal economy needing to be created to cater for a new normal and a greater adoption of technology and so on. But from the township economy perspective, what do you think needs to happen for this sector to up its game, as it has many customers at its doorstep, not to mention the great potential?
I think the sector of the business that is operating in the townships has a challenge of a transition, because you're right. I mean, the economy is going through a transition. Certain sectors are not necessarily going to come back. And certainly for some of the SMEs, these are the sectors that they are servicing. If you look at the tourism industry, it's going to struggle to come back. Mm. You look at the restaurant industry, it's going to struggle to come back. And for operators in the township, I think for, in particular, our people, for a long time, they have allowed the foreign nationals to take over tuck shops, and they have let that side of the business to be taken away from them. I think they need to reclaim it, but reclaim it in a different format, whereby they organize themselves into groupings and into buying clubs.
Yes.
To ensure that they bring the cost down, but to also move up the product
chain
and service line. Mm. Right? It's there's a young man in Pretoria, Lemuhang, who is working on providing township people with cheap data. So he's seen an opportunity in the market. He's going to become a data provider in the townships, which is something that many SMEs have not looked into.
Mm.
And he started off by supplying and importing cell phones. He designed his own cell phone. Now he's getting into data. And it's an area that for township purposes is unclaimed by anybody.
Mm.
And I think our entrepreneurs have to... other than capturing their what is their birthright in terms of tuck shops, they need to move up in terms of manufacturing goods. I mean, and manufacturing can start off as a simple process of making school uniform.
Yes.
Because now you get to make shirts. And when you're making shirts, it's a repetitive process that enables you to get sufficient practice in order to improve your quality over a period of time. Those are the things that can... Our entrepreneurs need to start leveraging on, because it's a market they own. They can go and talk to principals, they can go and address the school governing bodies and become the suppliers of a school uniform instead of our people going to suburbs and to formal trade in order to buy these services.
Mm.
So there are a whole lot of things that we can change in the townships. The whole area of why is that there despite a lack of land in the townships, young people can actually hire space in townships and plant vegetables and sell vegetables, as opposed to people going to the market to buy vegetables.
Mm.
I mean, many people think that we've come to the end of the world. maybe we've come to the end of the old world, but we're definitely at the beginning of a new world. And that new world requires that we should think differently, we should be much more bolder, and take advantage of what we have and leverage it into new opportunities.
Yeah.
And we also need a move up the technology ladder, right? We have stock firms in townships that have capital for investments. Why do stock firms think that they must invest in the JSE and in banks? Why do the stock firms can invest to its members to start businesses? Why can't we be the importers of goods and services that are being used in townships, those that don't have the tools to manufacture? Why don't we import machinery and make the goods ourselves in the townships and start supplying suburbs? Because, by the way, I'm a firm believer that townships are potential low-cost operators, right? For me, I mean, for suburbs, you have to pay exorbitant rent to operate in a suburb. I could see easily a township business becoming more cost competitive in relation to a business in town, so that the flow of goods starts from the township into suburbs.
Let me interject there, Mr. Msibi. You're brimming with ideas, but I do want to punctuate you a little bit. Even though there's great potential, what's your feeling or what's the evidence around entrepreneurs within the township economy being able to get the necessary financial or funding support?
It's not there. There's no funding for township entrepreneurs from the formal sector. Right? But where do our trustees live who are presiding over retirement funds? Right? Why is it that they have come up with policies that actually exclude investment in their own area where they live? I mean, I would stick with LIMSA trustees in areas like Vicinage, right? And I say to them with tears in my eyes, right? Tell me why you think it is wise for all your retirement fund contributions to be invested in Sentin, in the listed companies, and also in bonds overseas, and not in Vicinage, right? Mm. I think there's a need for conversation among black people that, yes, we don't get as much funding from banks as we should, but we have access to funding, but we've locked ourselves away from our money, from the money that is in the cabin fund, the money that is in stock firms. We have locked ourselves from that. The other area that is sitting with a lot of social wealth are the churches and the trade unions.
Yes.
That if we can begin to accept that we are on our own, that we don't have the outsiders that have our interests at heart who are going to come and invest with us, right? But we have our own money. Why can't we leverage our money? Why can't we have stock firms that are meant to get certain people to produce goods and we benefit from them purchasing those goods at a profit?
Lots of questions there. So what is it at a government and municipality, even at a network industry level, that needs to be happening to better create a conducive business environment in the townships?
If you go back to the past, with the young man interesting enough that we are working with, Tutuza Matana, he's taken over an old factory in Badelechi, right? Where he has revived a ceramic manufacturing plant, right? And fortunately, the provincial government has come on board with some assistance. The national government has come on board with some assistance, but they are assisting an entrepreneur that has taken the initiatives, right? And we need our young people to take the initiative with all of these factories that are lying empty. Right?
Yes,
They should look at ways in which they can occupy those factories and begin to make goods. Right? And I mean, if your income is zero, right, it means that and every day you wake up, you eat, because people are eating, it means that you can actually work for free for yourself until this business can actually generate a profit and reward you handsomely. So the difficulty with the state and the municipalities, is that we don't have enough initiative that is coming from communities, right? And I think they are not without blame in that a lot of SMEs are not getting access to cash. But one can sympathize as well and say that often the state, it's easier for them to to support the business that is actually operating.
Yes.
And you don't only get the support from the state when it is operating. You also get support from the private sector. I mean, remember the guy that started the Soweto Beer.
Yes.
Which ended up being sold to Heineken. It's things like that, right? And I mean, I have mentioned the Soweto Beer. It's interesting that the South African beer market is manipulated by South African breweries and does a significant revenue out of townships. Right? Why can't we have more township beers driven by produced by young people,
yes,
in South Africa and expand into other areas? Why doesn't Soweto have its own bakery? Why doesn't Zola have its own bakery? Why doesn't the Alex have its own bakery? And these micro organizations, right? When they start off small, but they are significantly big enough to take care of families and multiples of families.
Yes,
in fact, the country that has seen a lot of economic activity from family businesses in India, right? You find that manufacturing happens in yards. It happens with family businesses where man and his children are actually producing gadgets. And they started small. And China as well started making goods that we all knew that made in China meant poor quality, right? But practice enabled China to get to a point where the Chinese goods are seen to be of equal quality to the likes of Germany, and sometimes even better value.
Yes.
So we need to keep going. Right? We need to accept that no one is going to save us. We're going to save ourselves.
Yes.
Everybody is trying to save their own country. They're trying to save themselves, and we have to get on and save ourselves by being economically active.
Mr. Msibi, you know, you've asked so many very crucial questions, but when you ask those questions and you try and answer those questions yourself, what are the reasons? Why aren't people stepping up and setting up their own bakeries? Why aren't people who have talents in the areas of textiles, why aren't they, you know, starting to make uniforms and hoping to upscale by accessing maybe some money and seeing if they can, you know, have some sort of relationship with a school or whatever? Why is this not happening? Is it a lack of confidence? What is it?
There's a historical aspect to this thing. If you can, for 60 years, get into people's houses and find them brewing beer to sell for themselves, and you send the police and they decant the beer and beat the people up, if you find them baking bread for themselves, you make it illegal for them to bake the bread. If you find them trying to save money, you make it illegal for them to find the money. You create a culture of dependence, right? So we have a culture of dependence that was inculcated in us through slavery, colonization, slavery, and apartheid, right? And during that period, and that's why people would tell that black people can't farm. I mean, how could we have existed if we couldn't farm? Because producing goods is a primary enterprise of humanity. Right? But we've lost the skill. And we've lost the confidence to want to do things for ourselves. And our state as well has emphasized employment. Right? Over the past 25 years, every election, every political party is campaigning over employment. None has campaigned on saying, I'm going to create 10,000 entrepreneurs. Right?
Yeah.
It's always, we're going to create 5 million jobs. Right? So the sight of the black people has been damaged, and we need to fix it. Right? We need, because, I mean, being employed means that you're depending on someone to look after you.
Right? Yes.
All
yeah.
you have to do is to show up. You don't have to think. You don't have to get clients. You don't have to control cost. You don't have to control cash flow. You are actually a dependent, right? So that dependency syndrome needs to be broken. And I think we're seeing a lot of that happening. There's a lot of young people in farming. I mean, you see them on Twitter talking about showing off their produce. I've spoken to you about Duduzi Masana in the ceramics. In fact, Duduzi is a factory, right? It's the only one of its kind in South Africa and in the continent that makes a tableware, a ceramic tableware.
Mm.
So there's we need to have a revolution, an entrepreneurial revolution in South Africa, a revolution of self-reliance, right? Where people begin to accept that they're going to look after themselves, and we need to deal with the mindset of conspicuous consumption, where people want to consume easily, because that's what put us in a position where we want to get around these things the easy way. And the easy way is to find a job. The easy way, and also go back to the issue of school, that you and me were told that we must go to school, get good grades so we can get a job. Nobody has ever said to us, go start a business. Right? Mm. It's never been there. It's never been any of the things that has been encouraged amongst us. Success is a great job that you get. Someone will go and study a PhD in order to work for someone. Nobody studies a PhD in order to start a business and be independent. We need to deal with all of it.
Mr. Msibi,
as a people.
You know what? We've run out of time, but we could have gone on, but we have definitely run out of time. Thank you so much. That was Khandani Msibi. He's the CEO of the 360 Global Solutions Group.